And
that old rabbit went and got a string and tied around his neck and choked it and threw it in the tow sack. And he sang away, went back to that camp and where all everybody was. And he went out and laid that old snake out in front of everybody to get out of the tow sack and laid out in front of everybody. And he said, see? He said, I said I would bring this rattlesnake. And sure enough, there was that big diamond rattlesnake laying out there. And when he got the string over there, he said, yeah. He said, he told a lie to me. He said, you all say that I was shorter than this string. And he choked me and brought me in. That's why he brought me in. So that's another time he did. What do you want me to say?
Meg, why don't you sing?
Sorry, you sing.
I usually do that for the kids.
Good, these are kids.
Well, when I go talk to the school, I usually sing two songs. One is in Miccosukee and one is in Creek. That way you know the difference in Creek. Mm-hmm. And the first one is going to be a Creek. Jisa sa cha no ki ji, chu ka ta ku cha kai ji, ho pui ta ki in a ki, yik cha kai ji in yik ji. A cha no ki ji, a cha no ki ji, a cha no ki ji, na chu ka cha kai ji. That's in Creek language. And the other one's going to be in Miccosukee, and it's never written. They have these songs in. And they just sing from memories from the others. On this as can tapi hake, on this as can tapi hake, on this as can tapi hake, Monte Ocla canton, Ingusa pathot montonithiwa, Ingusa pathot montonithiwa. Ingusa patut montono siwa monti ukla kantun. That's in Miccosukee. That's a Christian song. That's a religious song that they sing.
Now, not many people know both those languages, is that right?
No, that many. She can't understand me if I talk in Creek to her. Mm-hmm. The lady that's with me, I have to talk in Miccosukee to her. And
does she understand English?
A little bit, a few words.
And mm-hmm. Is the little boy hers?
He go to school.
What do the songs you just said mean? What story do they tell?
The song that I just sang?
Yeah.
He says, come on, Christian, come on. Come on to heaven where God is. We'll meet there all together and we're all going to heaven. So come on, people. He says, come and follow me. He says, I'm going to heaven.
And then the other one, of course.
Jesus loves me.
We all know Jesus loves me.
Who, do you know who first put those hymns into the Indian language?
Well, there's a Creek songs. It's written Creek songs, mm-hmm. And it's interpreted to Miccosukee. We get it from a Creek language, Creek song.
Oh, I see. So it went from Creek to Miccosukee.
Uh-huh. But they haven't done to Jesus.
Was
loves
it ever in English? That second song you sung.
No, it's always in Creek songs. They have Creek book. It's written, mm-hmm. And when they sing that, some people interpret to Miccosukee in same language and same tune.
Now, you went to the Indian school in Cherokee. Is that right? In North Carolina, there was no Indian school in Florida, and a number of Indians in the, when was that, in the 50s, 40s?
Back in the
40s. 1940s. Mm-hmm. Went to the Indian school.
In the Florida state, we cannot go to school because we were the Indians. The door was closed to them. Closed for us. And there was no Indian school. And we was in black or we was in white, so we can't go in no school. So when I was about 13 or 14, I decided I want to go to school because I have friends among the white kids that go to school, and I want to go to school and get on a bus. I thought it was fun to ride the bus to school. And so this is the reason I asked my mother, and my mother go to the superintendent, the agency, and they said, yeah, we'll get you in school when they ask. They said, we can't go to school there. So the superintendent went and said, within 2-3 weeks, he said, I'll get you in school. But that was around September. And about in January, they said that we could go to school at Cherokee, that's in North Carolina, in a boarding school, a government boarding school, or either go to Oklahoma in a boarding school. So I decided I wanted to learn how to speak English. I didn't know it too much. I still don't, but I make enough to understand. Well, anyway, I decided if I go to Cherokee, I can understand Cherokee language. If I go to Oklahoma, there's Seminoles that I will blab it out in the creek to them. And so I can't learn, so I decided to go to Cherokee. So my cousin and I and my brother, we went to Cherokee Indian School. I stayed there 8.5 years and graduated from high school. My cousin quit and my brother went into Marines, but I stayed in. And I was one of the first Seminole to graduate. By the time I got out, there was about 21 students going to Cherokee School when we got out. Then when we came back in 1943, around there, we start fighting until we have the doors open in Dana School, and that's when in 40, around 45, the kids start going to school there.
You were the first Indian, Seminole Indian girl to get a high school.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And the next one was a boy and graduated about 2 years later. And that's where the our school, yeah. Beginning of our school started.
Betty May, tell them about Frank and Lottie's son, Jim, the lawyer.
Oh, yeah. When he was very young, he went to high school. Very smart boy. But then he had a car accident and lose one of his eye. Then he had another one and lost both of his eyes. And then when he lost his eyes and found out that he could never see again, people talked to him about going to school and learn how to work for himself. At first he kind of hated it and was against it. You know, how you get blind, how would you feel? Well, that's the way he felt. But then he decided he could go to school, and he went to the college. And now we have a best lawyer, and he's a blind, but he's real good. He's a good lawyer. He's a lawyer for the tribe.
Yeah, he went to, I know he came to Madison and was in the junior college there, but then he went to the school for the blind at St. Augustine,
yeah.
Didn't he? And then he went to Stetson Law School, did he?
He went as high as he could go, and
yeah.
He's real good,
he's a
smart
graduate of Stetson Law School,
and he's a tribal lawyer now.
Yes.
And what year did he go to Madison?
Well, it was probably in the 60s, because they used to stop by and visit with me when I lived here in my.
Anybody else have any questions or requests for stories?
Anybody over there?
Yeah?
Okay, I have two sort of, but one is about the hurricanes. Like, what did you guys think of hurricanes a long time ago? Did you know, did you have certain signs in the weather?
We didn't have no radios, or they didn't have no radios, or they didn't have no, but some way the men find out that there's a hurricane come. And through that, they either drop one of the biggest chicky down and get under there, or they go to the highest hammock and get under those, tie these logs under the thing and get under them, or in those hollow trees, and that's the way they survive. Back in 1926, hurricane, my mother said that they tide, a lot of people died on the other side of the lake. Mm-hmm. But on this side, my mother said my great uncle and them went and chopped this cabbage palm tree and tied them together and put canvas on top and tied to the trees, two, three trees, like oak trees, big oak trees. They know that they can't move there, so they tie them. And that's where they sat and float until the water went down and covered the canvas, and they went under there. That's the way my mother said they survived through that 26. And none of the Indians died during the 1926 hurricane, but there's a lot of white and a lot of color.
Mm-hmm. Died. And interestingly enough, we have, I feel sorry for you people who've never been to the Florida Folk Festival because you don't know what you're missing. But we have a genius, a writer, who wrote a song about Lake Okeechobee and the terrible hurricane that blew all the water out of the lake and drowned thousands of people. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're
doing. Aren't there stories that the Indians knew it was coming?
My mother, when I was a little girl, my mother showed me I seen it. But to this day, I can't tell you this, you could see it. One day the wind was blowing like, and I was just a kid, about 7 years old, 8 years old. She said, I think the hurricane is coming on us. And he says, we're going out there and we're going to watch. And if we see this bird come by, we know how strong it is and we know where we're going. Mm-hmm. And we have a big rock pit out there. And if it's going to be, we have a frame house that's pretty strong that they made. And it's small, but it's through the hurricanes before. But my mother don't trust it if she knows it's going to be strong. We go to the rock pit. Mm-hmm. There's a hole that they cave like that. Whichever hurricane's going to come, that's the way we're going to sit against the rock,
mm-hmm.
rock pit. And one day we went out there, and they was watching it. And all day they watched for this bird. There's a big old bird with a big wing, and the tail has a fork like that.
Mm-hmm.
And he flies slow in front of this toward coming that way from the hurricane.
Mm-hmm.
It flies real low. It means it's going to be real strong. And if you see real high, it means that it's not going to be strong.
Mm-hmm.
So my mother said, see, that bird that's coming, he said, it means that it's going to be low. He says, we're going into that rock pit.
Mm-hmm.
And so we did. When we went down in that rock pit, and she put canvas on, and all of us went down there, my grand uncle and all of us went down in there. And sure enough, it knocks a lot of trees down and one hit one side of our house and it broke the windows and all that. But we were safe down there. And,
mm-hmm.
and I seen that bird, but I couldn't say that you all could see it or anything. I don't know how.
Yeah.
But that bird tells them that they that's the way they learned. Mama did, my family did too that way.
Yeah.
I haven't read it.
I just wondered what you would think of a white person talking about.
There's a lot of truth in some lot of books I have read. Some lot of books, somebody brings it to me and asks me what is true or not. And some of them, it is true, and some of them, some parts it's not true. Some of them is makeup.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't seen it. So I don't know. I haven't read them.
Loretta?
Turning hurricane. I just didn't say that because I don't know whether it's true or not, you know. And that before we went in that rock pit, my great uncle, he was Jimmy Gopher was his name, and he was an old man. He was a medicine leader one time, and he carried a bundle that they called a carried a bundle, and he was a top man of this Green Cornets. And he always medicine man, and he was so. when he was standing there, he said that we'll be protected if I do this, and it will turn and go out that way, and we'll just get edge of it. And so he went and stand out there, and he got a big old axe, and he sang as he digged that hole and put the axe and facing toward the hurricane. And he said, that will turn him, and it will go this way. And that's a lot of belief like that they had. So, I don't know, God.
If it works.
But he said, we'll be safe, and we were safe. And we just got the edge of it. The middle went out on the ocean.
Can't argue with success.
So, I don't know what it's right, truth to it. I don't know. I can't say, you know.
Betty May,
Pastor Bleep.
Are the boys now being trained as medicine men?
Few of them. James Billy is one of them, you know, mm-hmm. our chairman. He's one of them, is learning. Mm-hmm. He was under that Ingham Billy, they call it, one of the famous medicine mm-hmm. men.
Yeah.
He was under there for a while before he died, and so he knows quite a bit, I guess. And at his age, by full fire, I'm learning all those.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We certainly appreciated his presence at the Folk Festival this year and what he did.
Oh, James, huh?
Mm-hmm.
He's a character.
Yeah, he's done a lot for the tribe.
He has.
Yeah, you had another question.
Well, the other question was if she had time to tell another story. She had mentioned sometimes the mothers or the grandmothers would tell kids these scary stories.
That's right. The thunder going outside. Perfect
it's
time.
It's not real stories. It just tell you ghost story, like, you know.
That's what I sort of like to know, like what would be a scary story to Seminoles. I might know some that I told in hospital.
Sometimes when it's rainy season and it's thundering and like this black cloud come over here, and if it's real rainy and then dark, real dark, and he said, and you know how your kids all act up and goof around and play around. The grandmother would say, he says, well, he says, it's real dark tonight. He says, and look at that lightning going out. He says, you might see a person standing out there, he said, with a figure. And he said, he will have big old eyes at you. And he said, he's going to get you if you don't go to behave yourself, et cetera. And then he would say, underneath, we live in 60s on a platform, you know. He says, underneath, he says, there's a thumb crawling around with a hand cut off on her wrist, and it's crawling around. When he comes out, he's going to poke you, and he said, you're going to die. Things like that, and it's scary at night.
I'm scared right now. By the way, during the festival, a couple of chickees were built, and they're still up. We're supposed to take them down, but they're across from the food shelter, and if you walk out that way tomorrow, if you have a chance, you might go look at them.
Yeah, platform, but
platform. There's a cooking chickee, and then there's a sleeping chickee, which has a platform in it.
And he did a very nice thing. They put up the framework and then thatched the roofs with mm-hmm. palm fronds that they brought all the way from South Florida because it has
in a U-Haul truck.
Frond mm-hmm. and showed how the roofs were thatched. And the roof is always, the eaves of the chickie are broad and hang down so that it cuts the bad weather. It has to be a real bad storm, doesn't it, for
mm-hmm.
the storm to get into the chickie.
They put it on, you know, wheel down.
You
never get wet or anything. That houses last about 5 years.
How about talking about the influence or the owl's place in Indian lore?
Owl's place.
The owl.
Owl?
The bird, the owl.
You know,
what was it, your question?
Well, I wondered if you know some of the superstitions.
Oh, they, the Indians are. We're superstitious from the hours. They think that if they hoot around your place, or a lot of times they, you know, sit up in a tree and hoot. They think that they believe that maybe your kinfolk's gonna die or gonna get very sick. It warning you that something's bad is coming up. Hear that, and they think that he's kind of spirit-like, and they're scared of him. If you hear the owls sing through the night, they go get the Indian medicine man, and he does medicine. They throw it all around the yard.
Medicine man, of course, couldn't stop him.
That's what they believe.
Yeah. Well, you know, we have superstitions, too, about the owl, especially the screech owl. That's the little bitty one.
Oh, yeah.
And if you hear him, somebody in your family will die. And the way to break the spell is to turn your shoes upside down or tie a knot in the corner of your sheet and choke him to death.
Yeah, a lot of superstitious things.
Yeah?
I heard a story about somebody who lived in Big Cypress. You were talking about living in the Chickies. This one had to do with a fellow who came home from a business trip and was living in some of the new houses. Have you heard that one?
No.
No? Okay, because I'm not sure you'd call it a story, but three or four people told it just about this one guy.
Why don't you tell it?
Why don't you tell it all? Now you got us waiting.
Well, I don't remember it.
Oh.
Did somebody else? Yeah.
You mentioned soft keys. The Indians still eat that?
Oh, yeah. I love it.
Is that made from the kumti?
Corn. Kunti, yeah, that's Compton. Kunti, they do that. But they don't find them so much no more. It's all chopped down and all these houses coming up. You can't find them no more. But this corn, you porch it like popcorn, but before it pops, you know how it is. And it's real corn. And then they get this a log, and they have a hole in it. And they put it all in there, and they got a big old stick that has a round thing, and they pound it and pound it and pound it until they grind it like, and then they get divided in two or three ways, you know, and they make softy out of that. First, they used to have a tree that they burned. I don't know the name of it. I know what it is in Indian, but they burned that. And then they get that up and put it in the water and get the juice out of it. And you put maybe half a cupful in that to have a flavor in it, and that's the way to drink. But today they put sodas in it, two tablespoons full of soda, and it makes the same flavor. So that's the way they drink it. It's
and
a softy.
No salt.
No salt.
Nothing, really.
You can grow the kumti.
Huh?
You can grow it. The kumti can be grown.
I know it. I've seen it at her place over there. Was it your place that you all kumti? You? Yeah. No?
No, I don't plant. It's a root. They use the root. Is the root cone shaped on those?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a round thing. Somebody has a... I went to one of the places down here below Orlando, and they have it all planted out in the yard, some kind of a Ford.
Mm-hmm. How did they used to... They used to use it to make flour with, right? To
cook well, they grind it. I mean, they got a hole on this, like a you rake. I mean, what do you do it with a carrots?
Yeah,
carrots grated. Yeah, mm-hmm. Grated. They have a big grater, but like this, and the women would stand there and got all these roots and grated and grated and grated until a big old pile, mm-hmm. And they put it out in a little platform. They put palmetto leaves all under it, mm-hmm. And then they put cloth underneath, and they put it all out there for 3 weeks. And it, I don't know, it just, I don't know how you explain it, but it finally gets to the, and then they get this and they put it in a, they have a full poles and they have this white linen or white cloth, and they put it in there and they do that and put water until it drains through, and they take this things that's the thing that's left and they throw it away, and then they take this thing again and they put it into another clean thing and they do it again and wash it out until again. And there's two parts to it. That one is orange-like, yellow-like, and the other is real white. And you want it real white, the more you wash it, and you put this red thing on top, get it and put it in another one, and you keep washing that, but it stay red. But you wash this until it real white, and keep putting it through until real white. And then you put it out in a platform and let the sun dry it, and keep it out there until maybe 2-3 days until it dries like a flower. And then you make a dough like, you know, make it like a hot cake or whatever you want to call it, but there's no salt in it, you know, just plain. But then you make soft your oven. It's like a starch, but it's that plant, and they make like dumplings in it, and they drink that. If you raise me, you like it. You love it.
It's like a lot of work.
It's a lot of work, but where they came from, I know the only one that does that is one lady out on the trail, and she find it along the gulf somewhere.
It's hard to find anymore.
Mm-hmm.
They're planting it in state parks. You can find it in front of some buildings and stuff.
And that's what I did. I saw some of these buildings off.
Kunti, is that what it is?
Kunti plant. Kunti, that's what the Seminole call it. And people, they used to have a place somewhere in Florida where they used to make flowers out of it, I understood, and a long time ago. And they learned how to say Kunti from Indians, and they call it Kunti plant, but it's a Kumti. They call it Kumti in English.
Yeah,
I've
seen
English.
It called that.
They're using it now. Some people are into landscaping Florida with native plants, and they use it in landscaping.
It's a root, big old root down there, and it's a big old green leaves like that. And it makes a beautiful plant.
Anybody else want to ask anything?
Going back to the owl, Ben May, did you know the young woman who came to Big Cypress to teach in Oklahoma that had the experience with the owl?
No.
She lived alone in a trailer out on Big Cypress, and it's a very kind of desolate area. And one night she was sitting in her living room, and she heard an owl. And she told herself, her father had told her the story about the owls all of her life, and she was one of the modern kids that didn't believe anything that her papa had to say. And so she didn't pay much attention to it that night. And the next night, it landed on a limb just outside of her trailer door. Well, that night, she got a little more excited about it. And the third night, it came and attached itself to her screen door. And by the fifth day, she had gone back to Oklahoma.
I don't know if you want to comment on this or not, because there was a court case on it recently where the young man killed the panther.
That's our chairman, James Billy.
That's James Billy.
They dropped it.
Yeah, I know they did, but what I was wondering is, they mentioned in the newspaper something about the reason he did it was because it was part of a Seminole practice that the paw had medicinal purposes, something like that. Is there a story about that?
The way he killed it was, he was out riding. A lot of our young people rides horses. He came upon this panther, and he could either run from it and let him chase him, or he could kill him. Mm-hmm. The panther's not going to let you go when he's right up on you looking at you. And so he decided he was going to kill it, and he killed it. And he brought it home, and the Indians eats them. And when you kill a panther, you done something that nobody else does. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of, you're proud of it. And so that's what he did. He was real proud that he killed it. So he brought it back, and they, all the young people decided to get a taste of it and see what it tastes like. But Indian medicine, they get parts of the some of the things to use in their medicine pouch that they carry. So they got all that, and somebody, and people all got that. And so they didn't think of nothing, and they cooked it out there and ate it. And he was going to keep that skin that he did so he could show it to people how he killed the panther, and he had it up there. And just like anybody else, somebody didn't like him, so he went and called a game warden on him, and that's when he came and they picked him up. That's the way it started. Mm-hmm. But it's when the Braves kills a panther, it's, they brags about it, because not many of them find a panther to kill. And that's, so he thought he'd done something big and kind of got, he did.
Are there any stories with panthers in them at all or not?
No, that's...
No?
That was sure a good one.
That was a good one, yeah.
Not a heifer. But they respect panther. They,
I'd say.
It's a, they're scared of it. They think he's kind of a spirit-like thing.
Mm-hmm.
Betty May, I think it was either Billy Bowles or probably Frank Shore, because he talked a little more than Billy did. But I think Mr. Barnes said that it is a tradition amongst the Seminoles to have great respect for snakes. And the saying is, no see 'em, no hurt 'em. And they don't kill snakes. They just...
They think that if you play around and joke around a snake, he doesn't like to be teased. A snake don't. And he don't like jokes. So that's the way the Indian believes. And if you joke about him, he will hurt you. And... So if you ever ask some Indian, you see rattlesnake, even they saw